I'm pleased to welcome Lori Orlov to the Caregiver Smile Summit. She's a tech industry veteran, writer, speaker, and elder care advocate, and she's the founder of Aging in Place Technology Watch, which looks at market research, trends, blogs, and reports that provide thought leadership, analysis, and guidance about technologies and services that enable boomers and seniors to remain longer in their home of choice. Her perspectives, and this is pretty amazing, she's been quoted in Business Week, CNBC, Forbes, Kiplinger, NPR, The Wall Street Journal, and The New York Times, where you're also profiled. Wow, I'm jealous. Welcome to the show. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
All right. So why don't you tell our viewers a little bit about your background and the impetus for creating your website and your business?
So before I did this, I was an industry analyst for 9 years with Forrester Research. And before that, I was in IT for many years. After I left Forrester, I became quite interested in elder care, as all people practically are who are in this industry. It was related to a situation in my own family. And so I moved to Florida, became a volunteer ombudsman for nursing homes and assisted living facilities. And as I started looking around those, I decided to get certified in geriatric care management and learn something about the space that I'm now being exposed to. And as part of that, I did a project that was a bibliography of the writings about technology for older adults. And it was at that point I realized there was no analyst, no industry analyst who had segmented the market, placed the products into categories, and described what was going to happen in that market over the next few years. And so I said, well, this must be me. And so I launched this in 2009 with the support of Mary Furlong at her What's Next Boomer Business Summit. She agreed with me that there was no analyst for this space. And so I presented my market overview that categorized the products. I took on my first client. I gave my first speech, and that I've been doing this ever since then.
That's awesome. And Mary Furlong and Lori Bitter are both going to be on our summit as well. So we're very excited. We have an incredibly stellar group. So since you've been at this, how is the role of technology in connecting older adults different today than, say, 5 years ago?
Well, we've made a lot of progress, let's just say. And one of the things I've noticed pretty much every 5 years in this space is the technologies that might have been useful 5 years ago, most of them are gone. And there are another set of technologies that could actually be very useful. There's a few exceptions to that. One of them is the personal emergency response pendant, which as a category has been around for about 30 years. But even the entrants in that category have changed. And so now it is feasible to have a device that you speak to. It's now feasible to have a device that actually tracks your whereabouts through GPS technologies, and a device that has a built-in fall detector. So even a category that has been around for many years has seen innovation. And then new categories emerged that 5 years ago we wouldn't have imagined. And that would include some of the voice-enabled technologies that are available today. The wearables market emerged, and there are people introducing wearables for older adults. So I think the most exciting thing about this market is it's not going to be the same in the next 5 years. And what really helps power it is, first of all, the speed of connection. Internet connection has, we now have fast internet connections available at a lower price point than was the case 5 years ago. And so video, and even what we're doing now, communicating through video, is more feasible, and the tools to do so are becoming simpler and easier to use.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm on a fiber optic network now, and it's incredible how fast things speed along. So you were mentioning some of the categories, and you looked at wearables. What are some of the intriguing categories and examples that are most interesting that you are finding?
Well, I think the most exciting thing that's happened in the past year and a half is the entrance of voice technologies and the ability to have software understand our speaking voice and interpret it. So that's the role of artificial intelligence. I would say it's early. So you have things like Google Home and the Amazon Alexa technology and all the related sub-technologies that are now voice-enabled and have some brains to them that they didn't used to have. So now you can ask questions with multiple phrasings and multiple words for the same thing, and you can often be understood. This is really sort of, Siri kind of gave us an idea about this with the iPhone. You can do this on Android devices. You can do this through software. And you most particularly interesting, you can do this in devices that have microphones, but those devices can also be used to sense what's going on in the home. They could be connected to home automation technologies. They could play music. They could read us a book. And increasingly, they're likely to be able to interact with us. So instead of us having to wake them up, they may wake themselves up. And they may say, Mrs. Smith, I see you haven't taken your 5 p.m. meds because we have the camera aimed directly at your medication bottle. Perhaps it's time to take them.
Yeah, that's fascinating. There's a gentleman in the UK who has some technology he's developing where it's music related, but it's programmed for a 24-hour cycle, and it uses song and it customizes lyrics to be able to tell the, like, it'll take a popular song, then they'll have one version of that song, but then they'll have a second version that changes all the lyrics, and we'll have, did you drink your tea, or, you know, that kind of thing. It's kind of interesting what's going to be coming down the pike. I guess the corollary question to that would then be, you know, when you talk about adoption and utilization of these technologies, I guess the pre-question to that is that, how savvy do you find our, you know, family care partners, caregivers, in adopting these technologies and finding out about them and then utilizing them? And how has that changed from 5 years, and how do you think it'll change 5 years from now?
Well, I think one of the key things to understand about a family caregiver is they are, in addition to being that, they're just regular people who get to see what's going on in the technology market. And they might themselves own a device like an iPhone or an Android smartphone. And they might utilize some technology for themselves. They might be on Facebook. They might be using other software on the internet. And at some point, they say, my mother should have this, or my father should have this. It's really important for me to know how my mother or father is doing when I'm not there. And so I'm going to try to get this technology into my mother or father's home, assuming they'll let me. And so that I think is, you know, family caregivers are people too, and they are much more so than they were 5 years ago using more of these technologies. The other thing I think is important to understand here is we are not talking necessarily about a specialty market of technologies made just for caregivers or just for seniors. I really believe that the general purpose market that we all need and want in our lives is the market that needs to be customized through software for older adults and for caregiving purposes. Here's an example of that. There's a, so to use the Amazon Alexa, you create these software capabilities referred to as skills. About a year and a half ago, there was a woman who created an Alexa skill called Marvi, and Marvi was a caregiving skill. And so Marvi, you would wake up, ask Marvi, ask a question, and Marvi would have a series of ideas of answers for that question that were specific to the caregiving market. Now, the raw technology was still the same Amazon Echo, and the skills creation technique that was being used was the same technique that could create a skill to find a restaurant or order a meal or do something else. So it's applying broadly used consumer technologies that will help us now and moving forward in this market.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was talking, interviewing Rosemary Rossetti, who does universal design. And she was, you know, I said, well, how's that differ from, you know, we have all kind of senior communities popping up. And she said, well, you know, some of them have their own, you know, blueprint on how they do these things that don't necessarily follow a universal design. And when you do follow universal design, you open it up to not just older people, but people with disabilities and a whole population. And it sounds like you're saying the same thing with the technology. It has uses across the board.
Yeah, I almost would call it everyone design, not universal design.
Yeah.
The problem with universal design is it does, and it sounds like to that person also, it brings up a connotation of technology that can meet the needs of people with disabilities.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But if universal design really was universal, it would meet the needs of all people, including people with disabilities. And if you look at what you can do on phones and on screens now, pinching and zooming and making things larger and smaller and brighter and reading out loud to you, you know, most devices now have functions on them. You may have to look for them, but they have functions that could meet the needs of people with disabilities.
Yeah, absolutely. So at some point, care partners might find that mom or dad need a extra level of care and start looking in senior communities. How are senior living organizations keeping up in deploying technology in their communities? I guess there's a behind the scenes component, and then there's the front of the room component and activities and things like that. So what have you been finding?
Well, I think senior living companies are very interested in technology. So interest is there. They've had some issues in the past about not having Wi-Fi connectivity in their communities. Any statistics I read now imply that at least half, if not more than half, are now Wi-Fi enabled. So the other thing that senior living communities are trying to do now, I think, is understand that in order to attract not just the older adult, but the families of the older adult, you need to have more technology enablement in your community that can be detected when people come to visit. You know, some kind of differentiating technology capabilities, and also technology capabilities that are supported by the staff. It's one of the real issues in general in the deployment of technology in senior living communities is there a staff person who understands enough about this and wants to show it to people and wants to help people who might be struggling with it? That has to change. If it hasn't changed, then they're really shutting people out. And also, I think, not helping themselves with a competitive advantage.
Yeah, and I think that brings a good point up to caregivers, care partners, about when they're shopping for these places to kind of be on the lookout for those. I go into many organizations, and they'll have something like the IN2L, touchpad, and sometimes it'll just be off in a corner, and it gets to your training and staff deployment and training and utilization. Well, I was just at the Dementia Action Alliance, and folks from there recognize that's an issue, but it's really like it's so robust a technology that if you go into an organization and can see them using it the right way, the possibilities are endless.
That's true. And in fact, also now we've got the ability to remotely control a teleconferencing capability on a robotic stand and direct it from someplace else. Right. And there's some experiments going on in some senior living communities with that concept. That's what they are. They're experiments. The level of urgency in senior living is would be much greater if the family members demanded and insisted that, my mother's here. I want my mother to have access to It's Never Too Late and some other capabilities. I want the tablet that I got her, the iPad for her room. I want that to make sure that it's charged. I want to make sure that it's plugged in overnight, that if she doesn't know how to start it up, that someone will start it up for her. And the senior living communities would probably say, we're not staffed for that. We don't have the people. And I think that's a tension, management can resolve that tension. The question is, are they motivated to do so?
Yep. That's a great point. And, it really gets to, my sweet spot is marketing. So, it's a marketing thing, and it creates experiences for people that people then talk about to others who, then find out about the whiz bang thing that's going on at this place or that place. So there is kind of no excuse in some respects. So,
right. Yep. Demo centers, the idea of having a demo center that's near the front of the building that people can see, that is shows the demonstrated use of some technologies in this particular community. I mean, how can that hurt?
Right. And then they're great questions that you just armed our care partners with to look for and to ask for. So one final thing, getting back into aging in place and home care, you have a report called Tech-Enabled Home Care. So what should family caregivers look forward to or be excited about in that arena?
Well, I think that's another issue of setting an expectation with the company that's offering you services that you expect to be communicated with when the home care worker is in the home, arriving at the home, departing the home, you want to know all of what's going on because you're not there. You've hired a home care worker, you're paying for a home care worker, and tech-enabled home care is the idea that it's not enough just to pay for a worker to come to the house without any data about what's happening there or any ability to share in it. And I have to say, in my own situation, I have a mother-in-law who's been in a senior housing community now since 2010. And the community has responded to the question of, will you ever provide us with an email status of what's going on with my now 94-year-old mother-in-law who has dementia? And the answer to that question is no. So what we've done is we've hired a home care worker who goes in three times a week for an hour, spends some time with my mother-in-law, and sends us an email. Now, did it have to get to that point? Is that really required? I leave that as a question for our senior living communities to think about. Is that, should that be required? And this is not a small company, but that's not what they do.
Yeah. Well, you've given us all some great things to think about from a care partner standpoint and from our fellow health providers. And so I thank you, Lori, for being on the Caregiver Smile Summit.
Thank you so much. And it's great to smile